Hello, everyone. Let me get everything going here. This is Q&A day. We're going to talk a little bit about the zones of big ass action. I'm going to answer some questions on that. One of the things that I was thinking about this morning that really resonated with me a long time ago was I had heard somebody talking about creating goals that are doable, but don't defeat you. So I loved it, number one, because it said doable, which I think is like the backbone of everything that I teach you guys here. But I love the idea of thinking about when you're setting your goals, when you're thinking about like either how much weight you want to lose or how many times you want to follow your plan or like just whatever it is that you want to accomplish. You want to be looking for ways that you can set very doable goals that stretch you, but don't defeat you. And so when we were talking in the videos, sorry, I've got something in my eye naturally, like right as we get started, I've got something in my eyeball. When we're talking about the zones for big ass action, one of the things that we focus on is making sure that you are in that growth zone. So we don't want to be in the scared shitless zone and we don't want to be in our comfort zone. We really want to be in that middle zone. And that is where you have a little bit of self-doubt. Sometimes you dread doing things. You start wondering if you can do it. I want you to think about the feeling that you have in the growth zone is questionable. That's about how you know that you have set a goal at about the right threshold for you, or that you are attempting to do something new that is like enough. What I watch a lot of you do is you want to set goals that it automatically triggers you to think you can't do it at all. It seems impossible. You can't even imagine that happening. So like, I remember when I was losing my weight, when I first started, I didn't start with a goal of losing 100 pounds at all. I started with a goal of, I'm going to go for a walk for 15 minutes every day. It felt challenging because I've been sitting on my ass for a long time. It felt a little like, well, you've never done that before. What makes you think you're going to be able to do that now? Like, there were things that came up for me. I doubted that I would be able to do it every single day. I was like, I don't know if I can do that every single day. I haven't been able to do that before. But what the difference was is if I was going after 100 pounds right out the gate, then I would have been sitting there going like, you've never done that before. And what makes you even think you can now? And I would have been like, think of all the past diets you failed and you don't even know what it's like to lose 100 pounds and everybody in your family's overweight. My brain would have like pitched the ultimate bitch fucking fit. Now, I know a lot of your brains do that automatically, but I want you to, when you set a goal, I just want you to slow down for a moment. And I want you to think, is my brain convinced I can't do it? Or is it just having normal questioning? Is it just going through the motions of course I would be doubting. I've never done this before. Of course I'm wondering if I can do it. I think if you're wondering if you can do it, that is a signal that you have picked something that there's a part of you that doubts because you've not done it before, or that you've had experiences in the past where you failed. There's also a part of you that thinks you can. I think sometimes, like, one of the things I don't want y'all doing is sitting around wondering all the time if you'll fail. But I think wondering if you can do it is a very healthy brain practice. It's also something that will signal to you, like, well, here I am wondering if I can. That is such a level up for so many of us because we spend our entire lives only thinking about what we can't do, only thinking about what can't happen, only thinking about our failures, only thinking about why it's so hard for us, what went wrong. And when you're an OBS woman and you start listening to things and you start noticing sometimes that you wonder like, well, what if I just tried it? Well, can I just? I wonder what would happen if. I wonder if this might work. Maybe. Anything like that is such a huge level up for most of you. And I want you to take a minute that if you're in that space right now, I want you to think like, I am on the right track. My mental game is starting to change. You may not be seeing all the changes you want, but when your brain starts opening up to the future, and your brain starts dabbling in the idea of possibility, and your brain is looking forward, guess what? Something's changing on the inside. The times that you're showing up when you don't want to, the times when you're trying shit because we said so, but you're still scared. The times that you push play on something when you didn't think you had time to even listen to me. The times that you did a discovery worksheet, even though you were full of shame or feeling really bad about yourself for overeating. All of those little moments are now starting to snowball. Your brain is starting to see you as someone different. And now it's asking different questions. It's wanting to poke holes in your self-doubt rather than reinforce your self-doubt. And I think this is important for all of you to recognize. Anytime that you can find a win, anytime you can find a success, you got to acknowledge it, you got to take it in, and you got to double down on it. There's no time to waste in no BS. Letting success markers, letting pivotal moments fly on by to sneak in under the radar. We ain't got time for that shit. And that's going to be a lot of what we talk about at relationship camp. That relationship with you is fundamental to the relationship you have with everybody in your life and every person who may one day come into your life. Those babies you ain't had yet, that partner you ain't met yet, that boss for your dream job that you ain't worked for yet, the relationship that you have with yourself, the one that you build now impacts those future relationships, and it significantly impacts and influences everyone you currently have around you. And that requires you sometimes to wonder if you can think differently about some people, to question how you talk to yourself, that when bullshit comes flying in, like, you know, the monkeys from the Wizard of Oz into your brain about what a failure you are, your willingness to question those things in that moment, it builds the relationship you have with yourself. It reinvents it. So today I pulled one of the cards from our swag box. So if you're coming to Relationship Camp Weekend, you will get a full deck of the Corinne Du cards. These are the Relationship Camp version. So we had, I don't know if I have my other deck here. I don't know what I did with it. Last time, we had the I Am cards. So for all of you who are coming for the second time, now you're adding to your collection. You will have the relationship cards. And we call these the Do cards because we have added to them something to do on each and every one of them. And you get a little thingy, the No BS Woman thing, which it happens to match exactly to my what holds all my monitors up. So today's little Do card says, as your body, your lifestyle, and your needs change, check in to see what changes need to be made with your food. This is important because one of the first questions I'm going to be answering today has to do with the scale stalling a little bit. And what do I do? And they're wondering if they are questioning in the wrong way. So I'm going to answer that in just a moment. So for all of you, the answer to this one is use your 24-hour assessments to evaluate ways that you've been open to change in weight loss. So you go back and you basically look at all your 24-hour assessments. You take a hard look at them, not a critical, I'm going to beat myself up look at them, but a hard look at for details. What foods am I eating over and over again? Because I'm no longer even questioning, do I need them every day? Like I gave an example the other day of like when I first started losing weight, I was eating ice cream every day. I just had in my mind that I could just not live without ice cream. In my mind, if I didn't eat it every day, then I was somehow going to have to like never have it. So I had like, it was very black and white for me. It's a yes or it's a no. And what I realized is like, as I was going through the process, I started feeling better about myself. I didn't need ice cream every day anymore. I started asking myself, well, can I just skip it for tonight? Do I really need it? Do I really even want it? And sometimes I would be like, you know, I want it, but I'm not craving it. I'm not dying for it. I'm not hungry for it. I started thinking about all the things that I'm not experiencing with the ice cream. And I was like, well, if all I really is just wanting it, I probably could just skip it and just have it tomorrow if I want it again. I kept things very casual that way. I always talked about things as casually, as open-minded. I tried to shut down as much harsh talk as I possibly could. So if you go and you look through your assessments, look to see what things you may be still eating that you might actually, you haven't questioned in a long time. Your mindset's changed. Your body has changed. You may be more open than you were 20 or 30 pounds ago to not having it as frequently. Maybe having less of it, to leveling it up and taking it from a good to a better food. So it says, have you been planning foods that make you feel good, or have you been planning foods that make you feel great? So I think when you go through that 24-hour plan, take a look. You know, when we talk about the zones of action and taking big ass action, you know, scared shitless zone would be someone who's looking at this. They're like, well, I'm on a stall or plateau. And now I can't have, I knew it, I can't have bread. That would be scared shitless zone. So you remove all bread, you remove all carbs because you've convinced yourself that you can't have them at all. And now it'd be you constantly feeling restricted. You would suddenly be going and living one way to a completely new way. And you would be expecting your brain to adapt way too fast. Growth zone would be just to take a calm look at all the foods and say, maybe like I just don't need to eat dessert every night. Or maybe I've decided I don't need a glass of wine every night anymore. I'm going to try having like flavored water and see if I can relax without liquor for a few nights. Just see what happens. I'm going to try journaling one night instead of doing my usual nighttime snacking. Just to see if I can get relief and clarity and feel better than I do when I eat and then feel bad about it the next day. All right. So let me do some announcements and then let me pull that up and then we'll get started with all the questions. So if you're a new member, this is Q&A time. This is an optional call. These are replays that will be put into video replay and inside the private member live broadcasts. You do not need to worry about missing them. But if you are brand new, this is not required. This is the extras that you get for being in No BS. So I suggest you hightail it on back over to the No BS weight loss course. That is your primary focus, and that is what we want you to do. So when we talk about taking some big ass action, for some people, the biggest ass action you can do is to stop consuming all the content and start consuming the exact content you need. For a lot of you, like if you're newer, you need to be in the No BS weight loss course. If you've been here a while, you ain't got to listen to every fart and toot that comes out my mouth. But thinking about which calls matter, which courses matter for me, those are the ones that you do. And this month we are inside of taking big ass action. And as I was just talking, this week is lesson four. It is the zones of action. So what I would love for y'all to do is if you got something out of what I just talked about when we kicked things off, if you have listened to lesson four and you got something out of it, I want you to go over to the Facebook group and I want you to use hashtag big ass action. Drop the nugget that you learned. This benefits two ways. One, when you drop a nugget in the Facebook group, it helps you solidify. It makes your brain think, what was important here? What is the one thing that I learned that I don't want to forget? Because you're going to consume a lot of information inside of No BS. And one of the things, the reason why I have y'all do these calls to action, where I'm like, please go, tell us the one thing that you learned. And if you don't tell us in Facebook, at least write it in your journal. Your brain gets so much information, but it only needs, I promise all of you, it does not need to know every fucking word that comes out of my mouth, and it doesn't need to understand every single concept in order for you to lose your weight. You need the right concepts for your right problems, and that's it. And the best way to know, the only way to know, if you have the right concept for you, is to stop and ask yourself, what was important in this lesson to me? What was one thing I don't want to forget? Your brain will sit there and it will parcel through stuff and be like, well, you've been really worrying about this, so this doesn't matter, and this doesn't matter, and this doesn't matter. But this bullshit you keep telling yourself over and over and over again and thinking you can't do it, blah, 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 blah. It will find that sentence, it will hear that nugget, and it will be like, you should remember this. This is the one for you, Missy. It is a brain hack. So many of you think like, I gotta understand everything Corinne says, or I'm not gonna lose weight, and I'm gonna get it all perfect, I'm gonna fail. That is bullshit. Here's the deal. You ain't gotta know it all, and you ain't gotta be damn perfect. There's only been one perfect person ever to walk the face of this earth, and he's up with the good Lord right now. So if you ain't Jesus, you need to quit trying to be perfect. So make sure that you remember, I ain't got to know it all. I just got to know the things that address my unique problems. And if I'm listening and I'm asking myself to pull some of this information out, guess what will happen? Your brain will parcel exactly what it needs. The second thing that it does, the second thing, is there's somebody sitting inside that Facebook group right now who ain't listening to Q&As. They ain't pushing play on Big Ass Action, but they're happy as fuck to scroll the Facebook all day long and wonder why they ain't losing weight. They'll get in our Facebook group and just be sitting there wondering why, reading what everybody else is doing, and somehow they ain't dropped 20 pounds. It ain't a big mystery. I always tell y'all, don't you fucking come into that Facebook group, a subgroup or the main, unless you got a 24-hour plan made. If you're sitting on fucking Facebook reading what other people are doing to lose weight, we have a problem if you aren't doing your shit. Stop reading what people do. Get out your planner and do it, even if you're whining, even if you hate it, even if you think you can't lose weight, even if you don't want to, even if you think you ain't got time. I'm going to tell you right now, anybody sitting on fucking Facebook has got time. Don't tell me you're too busy. Social media is not a job. There's only one of us in this room right now where social media is actually their job. If I'm on Facebook, you know what I'm not doing? I'm for sure as hell not surfing groups that I belong to their membership and I ain't doing their work. I'm not reading about what my friends from high school are doing with their life. If I'm on social media, I'm in your group coaching you and working. So when you post your aha, you never know who you are going to impact inside of our group. You never know the one person that is sitting there who needs to hear something to get them to push play. Every day I am in the Facebook group and I read this. Somebody will type up notes. Someone typed up the most beautiful notes last, or she actually hand wrote them. I started last week off telling y'all how to lose 10 pounds in 6 weeks. Now, I am amazed that that did not spread like wildfire in the dry ass, no rain bush somewhere. Literally, I called it, how to lose 10 pounds in 6 weeks while being an OBS woman. Somebody was listening. I wish I could remember your name. And she wrote the path to losing 10 pounds in 6 weeks. And she posted it in the Facebook group. And somebody said, was this a Facebook Live? Like, where was this? That's why we do this. Because that is somebody who didn't even know that we had video replays. Who didn't know what we have. It gave me the opportunity, number one, to cheerlead this person for like doing those notes. And number two, this person saw something that resonated. And she was like, your notes, I'm not doing those things. Where can I hear this? I want to hear this. So you just never know when you're going to have an impact on somebody by just sharing your notes. Somebody said it was Rhonda. Thank you. Thank you, Rhonda. It was wonderful. It's a great post. And if y'all are wondering, somebody, Jenny's like, oh my God, I need that replay. It was last week's Q&A. In the camp swag reveal. So I started it off with all that stuff. So you will not only get to see what's in our fabulous, let me just grab it. We have an entire box of goodies coming to everybody, including these cards. Every camp gets a great box full of stuff included in your virtual or your in-person registration. But I started it and I talked about like, how to lose 10 pounds in 6 weeks. In fact, I want my team, somebody on my team, we need to like quick hit that one and we probably ought to top it up. It was some good shit. All right. This, don't forget, we're in the Move Your Body Challenge. So for everybody, please keep sharing how you're moving your body. I am still doing my stretching. This morning, I was supposed to run. My legs did not feel like running. I was telling my best friend, Jane, on Marco Polo today. I said, girl, I am an accident waiting to happen. I can just tell it in my lower body right now. I am not going to run today. I'm going to lift my upper body and I'm going to go for a little walk. I did a mile walk and I'm like, and I'm going to call that good because my goal with moving my body is to keep it healthy and strong. It is not to show up for workouts when I know in my gut that I shouldn't do it. And that's like me being like a grown-ass woman these days about exercise. I used to be so worried about missing workouts. And if I missed a workout, I would beat myself up for them. I don't do that anymore. I now approach moving my body with like, what is love today? What's good for me today? Like I was dreading it. And I thought, you know what? I know, like, honesty, I shouldn't be running today. I can tell that in my legs. But I also know I can pivot like a motherfucker and still do something, even though I didn't want to. And that's when I just went outside and I said, you know what? I'm already dreading it, so I might as well just move forward. Like, I don't need to sit and wonder why I don't want to, and I don't need to process this or anything. It's like, you know what I need to do? Go get started. Dread will end once you begin. That is the, like, when y'all are dreading making your plan, when you're dreading doing some of the shit that I want you to do, guess what? It doesn't matter. Just know that you're dreading it and it's okay. But you can either end the dread in one of two ways. You can take action. Because once you start doing it, you don't dread it anymore. You're just in the process of doing it. Or you can shit out on yourself. You'll end the dread, but you will invite feeling terrible about yourself. Like not following through on the things you say you will. So if we're going to dread, we might as well dread with a good outcome. All right. Let's go. We have a new Century Club member this week. Let's see who would Century Club is Danielle Harrison. So she has learned how to navigate her emotional trauma, and she has an accountability group that's been helping her. So everybody congratulate Danielle Harrison for losing 100 pounds. She is now in the Century Club. All right, so here we go. Totally letting my brain take over this morning after I weighed myself. I thought I'd see some pounds drop after my visit from Aunt Flo this week, but numbers are still the same. Why do I do this to myself? So I don't, first of all, don't even know what you've done to yourself at this point. This is a question that I want to know. It's like, did you eat your face off or what? Like, what is the, I am doing this to myself. I followed my 24-hour plan and now I'm in a spiral of self-doubt, wondering, maybe I could have drank more water. Am I eating too much food? What am I doing wrong? Is this going to work? So this is what I was talking about with wonder. If you're not losing weight, it's good to wonder. But you want to have productive wondering. It's good to say, like, maybe I could have drank more water. Okay, if your first thought is maybe I could have drank more water, here's what I would do. This week, I just drink more water and see. Not an issue. There's nothing going wrong with you questioning your behaviors. If you say, maybe I'm eating too much food, great. There's nothing wrong with questioning that. Here's what I would do. I eat a little less this week and see what happens. That's all you got to do. That's productive wondering. But here's where we get into unproductive wondering. I wonder what I'm doing wrong. I wonder if this is going to work. That's not wondering about your behaviors. That's wondering about your self-esteem. That's wondering about your self-concept, and that is bullshit. So we want to make sure that when we, like, if you thought the scale was all of you, if you thought the scale was supposed to go down and it didn't, the very first thing to do is to say, any incoming bullshit thoughts about me not being able to lose weight, something's wrong with me, I suck, I might as well eat. Make a list of the usual garbage thoughts you would have. Okay? Like, literally, get you some paper out. Make you a list of your garbage thoughts. And then be prepared that every time you have an expectation gap on the scale, which means I expected to say this, and you get on there and it says something completely different, then here's the deal. You have to know the thoughts that will be coming into your brain. And then when you hear them, if you know they're supposed to come, you don't make a big deal out of them. You just say, like, yeah, I expected something different. Of course I'd question myself. Of course I'd be doubting. Of course my brain would offer up all this garbage. But that's all right, because I'm going to direct it intentionally to wonder about my behaviors, to be scientific about what did I do last week? What did I not do last week? I'm going to get in there and I'm going to be truthful, but we're not making it a self-esteem issue. We're not self-loathing about it. So if you don't understand the difference between self-loathing and examining your behaviors, go to Ask Coaches. Take a list of, like, if I weigh in and it doesn't match what I think it should, here's all the things that I would think. Here are the ones that I think are probably it's a no. And here are the ones that I think might be useful and productive. Prepare yourself for that stuff. That's how you start building a better relationship with the scale. Betsy, make sure you tag this part and get it to Yasmin, because we have a new program coming out, I believe, in May around the scale, conquering the scale. We're giving it it's an old program. For all of you who are wondering what I'm talking about, I believe it's our May program. We had an old program called Conquering the Scale, and we're giving it a complete rewrite and facelift. And that will be, I think it's our May program, but make sure she gets that piece, because that's some of the stuff I'd want to include in there. Okay. So that's what you want to do. You want to be able to anticipate what your brain is going to say. And then you want to make sure you dissect it of, like, Here are the useful, productive thoughts. Here are the useful and productive questions. Here are the things that I do need to go back and look and assess. I don't care if you lose weight, gain weight, or maintain. All of you should be assessing. All of you should be looking at your behaviors. Even on weeks that you lose, you never know when you're going to be in a place where you might have behaviors you're ready because you're motivated by your weight loss. You may have behaviors you're ready to start working on now. You don't have to wait until you have a stall or plateau. What I watch a lot of you do is you sit around, you don't examine your behaviors until there's a problem. And then you're not used to examining your behaviors, so you do a lot of self-loathing. If you examine your behaviors every single week, you take advantage of the weeks where you have high motivation and high momentum. Those are the weeks you might be able to move a little faster on making changes. They won't feel dramatic. They won't feel crazy. You know when they feel harder? When you're in the fucking doo-doo about not gaining weight or not losing weight. Then you want to make your changes during the moments when you are also having to combat all your doo-doo thoughts on top of it. So be assessing all the time. I'm noticing a pattern during the day. I'm sitting at my desk working. I have access to a TV in the background, the internet, the phone, but I still feel bored. Like the need to get up and go get sweet potato chips from the kitchen, because we all know that if we're bored, sweet potato chips are the answer. I did a discovery worksheet, but I'm having a hard time putting my finger on exactly what it is I need. You need to learn how to be bored. A lot of you want to so how do I get excitement? Y'all, we're not drug addicts. It would be the same as saying I'm sitting there with the TV, the internet, and this other stuff. I'm bored. And I just go and get me a line of cocaine so I can feel good. It's the same thing. You're seeking excitement during a time where maybe you're not supposed to be super excited. You're actually supposed to be bored. This is the thing that, how can I be bored with all this technology? Because you're not supposed to always be that interested in shit. That's not how the brain works. Excuse me. Hang on a second. The mistake that most of us make is that we're supposed to go through life happy, excited, thrilled to be here, or fancy, just tickled to death. That is not life. Sometimes we're supposed to be able to just sit and be bored. Allow yourself to be bored rather than getting chips and taking your mind off of it, to just see what you think about when you're bored. Most of the time, if you will let yourself sit there and think about the boredom, you'll probably hear yourself have thoughts like, you know, you're wasting your life. You know, you it's too bad you're not going after this dream, stuff like that. You want to hear those thoughts. When you eat or distract during boredom, you don't get to see what it is your inner self is trying to communicate with you. So if it was me and I was bored, I'd probably just get out a piece of paper. I would just sit and listen to my brain and be like, all right, I'm feeling bored. What random thoughts are going through my brain right now? And I would write them down so that you can see what goes on inside of your brain. What is your brain trying to tell you about your life, about yourself? Do you like what it tells you about your life? Do you like what it tells about yourself? One of the things that happens also very frequently with people is when you're bored, like your brain starts wanting to think of distraction, like, ooh, let's go get some chips, or ooh, let's go get this. If you didn't do it, then your brain a lot of times will go into being a critic. And so we end up, every time we feel bored, going and grabbing food or distraction to ignore sometimes the mean things we say to ourselves, or the like, you know, you're just not doing enough. I mean, look at you. You got nothing to do. You have TV and you got phone, and here you are, you know, just not making the most out of your life. You want to hear those thoughts. You don't want to distract from them. You want to use them as an opportunity to say, like, Yeah, I've got TV and all this other stuff. And my life's pretty good for these reasons. And if you are not enjoying your life, at least you'll be able to get the information you need to go and figure out, like, what am I afraid to do with my life? What am I ignoring in my life right now that I could be working on? What work am I not doing in these moments? Am I really bored, or am I just scared to try new things, to have new conversations? All of that could be possible. All right, let me get to. I'm having trouble kicking my old thinking to the curb. I want to make more realistic plans so I can level up, actually following my plans, but old shitty keeps popping up with the that's not good enough shit and you won't lose weight that way crap. How can I turn down the volume of those thoughts and stop being in such a rush to lose the weight? I have a lot to lose. All right. So this, I want to rephrase it a little bit for you. Your brain is saying that's not good enough and you can't lose weight. So then you break your plans, confirming that you can't lose weight. That's really what's happening here. So it's not that your plans aren't good enough, and it's not that your plans won't help you lose weight. It's that if you don't do this plan in a realistic way, you set yourself up to do nothing or to break plans or to overcorrect. Like, I binge, I restrict, I binge, I restrict. So you have to tell yourself the truth of what's happening. That is the first thing. The other thing is y'all gonna have to quit wanting your old shitty thoughts to quit coming up. It does not matter if your brain says that's not good enough. What matters is what you say to it when it does. Right now you're saying, like, that's not good enough. So you either break your plan because you believe it instead of questioning that it's just a thought. Like, obviously, it's good enough, because if you would just at least follow this, you wouldn't be eating like a jackass. That would be the truth. The other thing is, like, it matters what you say after. So if it says that's not good enough, you don't just need to believe it. You got to have another thought behind it. You've got to have the truth thought to come behind it. Because the truth isn't that what you're doing is not good enough. The truth is that when you try to do it the old way, you break your plans and you don't get anywhere. That's the truth. And that's the truth you have to tell yourself, is that every time your brain will say that's not good enough, say, like, oh, what I learned in no BS, and I've said this a bunch of times, so I'm going to repeat it one more time for all of you because it's important. When your brain says that's not good enough, you're on the right track. You're used to believing that you're not. You're used to eating because of it and proving that whatever you're doing is not good enough. But the real truth is that when we are getting outside of our comfort zone, our brain offers up doo-doo. It wants to go. Your comfort zone is do really hard things when it comes to weight loss and fail. Do really hard things, willpower, make yourself do shit until you break. That's your comfort. Like, you go from comfort zone to scared shitless, comfort zone to scared shitless. The comfort zone is where we just believe our bullshit thoughts and we eat. Scared shitless zone is where we do things that we're really not ready to do. And so we either shrink back, because we, like, and when you're really scared, you believe everything your brain tells you. Every little word. Fear will make you believe anything. Think about people, like, I watch all these shows all the time where, like, people get tortured. Like, Chris and I always watch CIA bullshit and all that kind of junk. When they're scared for their life, they will say and do anything. They will believe anything that a captor tells them after a certain amount of time. Y'all are like the same. You're holding yourselves hostage to weight loss. So we've got to quit getting to the scared shitless, like, I'm going to terrorize myself zone. We want to be in that middle zone where your brain should say, this isn't good enough. That's when you're like, then I'm on the right track. Because if I'm just thinking it's not good enough, then that means that it's probably easy enough to actually try to do it. So I just need to quit listening to bullshit commands. So two things are important. Number one, those thoughts are coming. Stop believing them. If you don't do anything, at least when y'all hear this isn't good enough or this won't work or whatever, you need to tell yourself, that's just something that I think, and that's a habit. That's not true. That's not the way it is. I'm sure you can go back to your past and try to prove to me how true it is. It's like, yeah, but I can go to your future. Here's what I do know. Every single person, including myself, that has lost weight, at one point, we thought it wasn't good enough. At one point, several points, we thought it wouldn't matter. Lots and lots of times, we worried we couldn't do it. Guess what? We did shit anyway, and we proved it wrong over time. Those thoughts were never true. They were listened to for a long time, but they were never true. There's a big difference. A lot of you think your thoughts, like it will take too long, it's not good enough, is a true thought. When what's really the reality is, it's a thought you keep listening to. And until you stop operating on its commands and start listening to something different, you're not going to move forward. But that's all you got to do. They're just thoughts. They're not the problem that you're making them out to be. You need to tell yourself, it's not a problem to think that. It's not terrible that I think that. I don't need that shit to stop. What I do need to stop, though, is believing it. What I do need to remember is that every single person who lost weight thought this way at one point and decided to do something different in the face of it. So am I going to be that person today? Or am I going to be the person sitting around gnashing their teeth because they still have shitty thoughts? If you're going to like be upset about your thinking, then you're going to spend your entire weight loss upset about your thinking because it never gets better. I'm just going to tell all of you, I've lost 100 pounds, started my own business. My son was diagnosed with autism. He's doing great. He's got a job. So many things are right in my life. And yet every day I can sit and tell you all the things I don't like, what I'm afraid of, I always find something to worry about. That is just the way our brains work. So you got to quit fighting that. You got to quit making that a big deal. You got to quit waiting for the day that you only have pure thoughts. It's not coming. But here's what happens. You get better at recognizing it. You get better at knowing what's important and what's not. You get better at doing shit no matter what you think. You get better at pivoting your thoughts. And a lot of the stuff that you feel, I'm not afraid to feel bad anymore. Some days I'm just angry. Some days I'm just sad. But because now I don't make it mean like, oh my God, I'm sad. That means I'm probably going to eat. And if I eat, that means I'll be overweight the rest of my life. And if I'm overweight the rest of my life, I'm going to die young. And then my kids are going to go homeless. And that's a hard life. I've learned how to quit that snowball shit. It's like, I'm just sad today. I'll probably be all right. Right now, I'm just bored. In 20, 30 minutes, I'm sure it'll pass. Now I'll just talk about my feelings like they're kind of boring. They're just there. I'm in maintenance and within my goal range, but I have a hard time with consistency and planning and tracking and movement since my dad passed away in November. I'm sorry about that, Kat. I plan for a day, then skip a few days. Work out one day, then skip a few days. I just don't feel like my mind is in the right place. I need to come up with a new thought so I can believe in myself again. I don't know if this is a believing in yourself issue. There's nothing on here where you gave me a bunch of reasons why you don't believe in yourself. This really just sounds like you're kind of fighting the grief process and that you're making it mean that you are like a plan a day, a skip a few days. I'm doing this stuff. You're making that mean something's wrong with you rather than just making it mean like this is a season of my life where I'm figuring out how to get consistent again. And I'm just going to like keep plugging away. I'm going to keep having the goal to do this while I'm also understanding that there may be some days I don't feel like it because I'm grieving. I just want to know on the day, like, here's what I would challenge you, Kat, is on the days that you don't feel like it or don't want to do it, rather than thinking that this is a problem, there's something going on, my mind must not be in the right place, rather than thinking all of that, just get curious and say, like, okay, what was going on for me mentally on the day that I wanted to skip my workout? The day that I, like, just at least give yourself the gift of understanding why you're not wanting to plan and why you're not wanting to work out, and then challenge those thoughts. I would rather you redefine your thinking around this pattern so you can just kind of like understand, like, oh, these are the things I tell myself. These are the things that are going on for me. Sometimes I can see that it's compassion. Sometimes I can just see that it's just me not acknowledging that I'm using excuses, whatever. Get to understand that, and that will be super beneficial for you. And I don't know if you're coming to Relationships Camp weekend, but you know, one of the things that we'll be working on, not only is it with the relationship with ourselves, but you know, we're going to be talking about you know, relationships as they change. One of the most significant changes in a relationship is when you lose a loved one. A lot of us think the relationship ends, or we have this mistaken idea that once someone's gone, we're no longer in relationship with them. And when you understand that a relationship just happens in your own mind, it happens in your thought bubble, you get to decide what you want the relationship to be like moving forward with someone who's deceased. I watched this with my mom. My mom and I are a really good example of having very different relationships with the same people that passed away. Now, granted, this was her mother and dad, and my mom would tell you her story is that because it was her parents that it's different. And I would say that the reason why the grieving process was different for me and my mother when it came to my grandparents, because my grandparents were parental figures in my life, is that I decided to keep the relationship going in my mind in a way that filled me with love and also filled me with, like, I miss them. I still grieve them, but I spend so much time in gratitude and thankfulness for everything that they did for me and my brother and my mother, that the relationship was very different once they passed away. My mother's relationship with them was that they were taken too soon. It shouldn't have happened. They both died terrible deaths. She spent a lot of time in the yuckiest parts of the relationship in her mind. And I didn't do that. And we had very different experiences. And I think even to this day, we have very different experiences with the relationship that we continue to have with people who are no longer with us. And I just think it's important for all of us, because we're all going to lose people. And we think because we lose the person that we lose the relationship. And I just don't believe that. I think we lose the person, which is a vital part of things, but you don't lose the love. And you don't lose the connection unless you stop thinking about them in loving ways. And that's not to mean that you think about them in terrible ways, but we get so focused on what we don't have. And we just forget to include that part in the grieving process. So can you talk more about easy ways to journal? I do my plan each day in the planner, but not as much on some of the things I need to work on around my thoughts of overeating and drinking before and after these episodes. So the best way, the easiest way to journal is to just do it and not expect it to be easy at first. So for all of us, when we first start writing our thoughts and stuff down, what gets in the way is our thinking is, this is hard. I don't know what to say. I don't think I'll ever be good at this. that tends to be the biggest problem. If you will just go into it thinking more like this, it takes time to get used to writing. It only feels hard in the beginning, but it does get easier. Like, it's just literally some thought shifts at first. The next thing is that if you want to figure out your thoughts around overeating and drinking, one of the best ways is to do the discovery worksheet. We also have inside of module 3 of No BS is the successful urge worksheet. That is something that you can use before you think you're going to overeat. So using it there, that could be helpful. So that worksheet's helpful. The discovery worksheet is helpful. So for a lot of you who don't really know what to do when it comes to journaling, use our worksheets. Those are journaling exercises. Those are things that you can use to get to the thoughts, because all we're doing is asking you guided questions. That's all that's happening. So just kind of look through like the No BS worksheets and look for worksheets that would apply. The other thing that you can do is if you start journaling and you're trying to uncover thoughts that are getting in your way and stuff around eating and drinking, either before and after, y'all take some of your work over to Ask Coaches. Like, take your, whatever it is that you write, like, I think this was the problem, I think this is why I did it, whatever it is. Just take that raw ass work, type it into Ask Coaches, and then ask them, like, where should I start with this? You know, what can I journal on next? What do you see in this that I can like say like, oh, no wonder. Let them do some of that heavy lifting for you. And that will help you. Like, when you see what they pull out and you see the questions they ask, over time, what ends up happening is you start learning how to answer those questions for yourself. Start pulling out those things for yourself. But it just takes time. All of you, it's a, like, there's nothing wrong with you because this doesn't come natural. We're not taught to examine our thoughts. We're not taught how to like find our feelings and stuff. The reason why we teach you is because it's so critical and it makes weight loss faster when you're doing it. I wouldn't give you something if I didn't think it was going to help get the weight off faster and keep it off. Like, that's the two big things. The more you journal, the more you write, the more you plan, the more you're willing to examine your thinking, your weight will come off at a good clip. A lot of you think that we do it the slow way here. We don't. We do it the permanent way, for sure. And when I take my success stories, they lose weight at the same average as all the other big diets over time. Every single one of them will post, and they were losing 1 to 2 pounds a week on average. Like, don't be trying to skirt the system, y'all. Just get started. Quit delaying the day that you weigh in on your goal weight because today you didn't think today was important. I guarantee you, when you get there, every day was important. How do you deal with, oh, it went away. I noticed that the feeling I'm most unwilling to feel is agitation, but I often have this feeling. There are numerous thoughts that will bring this up, and the most noticeable theme is control. So I spend time writing about what I can control. I eat to distract myself temporarily from these feelings frequently, and my conscious brain knows that gaining weight, not losing, is contributing to gaining weight and not losing cannot contribute to negative feelings. She says, in the moment, when I'm looking for relief, I'm not recruiting my intentional actions. You need intentional thoughts when you're looking for relief. You're looking for the wrong thing. This is what a lot of you do. I am thinking bullshit. I therefore am agitated. So I want to go and try to find something to do to not eat. But I want to keep my agitation and my bullshit thinking. It's the think, feel, do cycle. We're not going to look for intentional actions. We want to look for intentional thinking. Otherwise, it won't matter. Y'all, quit trying to force yourself to not eat and do something else with a shitty mindset. Because that's all that's happening. Spend less time. Like, all of you, stop trying to do this. Here's when I overeat. I need to stop that. It's like, no, here's when I overeat. What is the thought causing it? And I need to go to work on figuring that thought out and pivoting from that thought in the moment. Because then not eating becomes easier. You don't have to force yourself, make yourself. The main reason why y'all end up eating is because you're trying to force yourself not to eat while holding on to worry and agitation and all your doo-doo thinking. That's just sitting there going crazy while you're like, and don't eat over it, and don't eat over it, and don't eat, and don't eat, and don't eat. And then you're like, you wonder why you're agitated as fuck and eating. It's because you're not changing the root cause problem. The problem isn't that you're eating. The problem is all this crap you're thinking that you end up eating over to escape that thinking. If you're escaping a feeling, you're also escaping thinking. Same thing. So you want to make sure that we're not sitting around just overeating and trying to figure out how to stop overeating. We want to sit around and try to figure out how do we get to a point where we can hear what we're thinking and understand it and unwind it and shift our beliefs and shift our thinking so that the overeating goes away. The desire for that just naturally leaves. And not only do we not have to make ourselves eat, but we feel better genuinely. All right. That is everything for today. Don't forget, you can still sign up for camp. Go on over to nobswomen.com. Go to the events tab. It's Relationships Weekend. Make sure you get signed up. The next bonus call is this weekend on Saturday with Coach MJ and Coach Kathy. You're not going to want to miss it. We have, so there's a 60-day from camp call that you can have access to the replay of that. We have a 30 days out camp call to get you prepared for that. And then 30 days after and 60 days after camp, we also have calls so that we can keep the work going on the relationships. So it'll be all of it's very relationships intense and focused. All right. Y'all have a good one and I'll talk to you later. Bye y'all.